All right. We are entering into our second week of our sermon series called Tell Me a Story. And we're going to be looking at some of the parables that Jesus shared as he taught his disciples and others who gathered around him. And as I was preparing for this morning, I found a story that theologian N.T. Wright shared, and I want to share it with you. He said, I once knew a young man who was suffering from severe depression, and eventually he went to a psychiatrist and told her not only how bad he was feeling, but what he had been dreaming about, night after night. He said, in his dreams, he was inside his house, and it was on fire. A close friend was setting light to it and pouring fuel on the flames, and he was terrified. But it always managed, somehow he got out in the end. And so the psychiatrist decided to interpret some of his dreams. And she said, in the dream, your house stands for your whole self. The friend is a part of your personality that's important to you, but it's causing you trouble. And in the end, you get out because you know that in your heart that everything will be okay. In the ancient world, dreams were often looked at as ways of God speaking to us, right? In the Old Testament, we hear, Joseph interpreting dreams. And there's a whole lot more examples. Jesus' parables, in some ways, are kind of like dreams. Sometimes they're a little bit difficult to understand. But if we can interpret them, maybe God can speak to us in a new way. Alternatively, N.T. Wright says, another way to think about it is kind of like a political cartoon in the newspaper. That's how he relates parables. He says, often animals or symbols are used to describe different countries or different political parties, right? You see that? But the problem is, if you don't know what the symbols mean, the cartoons aren't funny, right? They don't speak to you. And so we really have to try to dig in and understand the symbols that Jesus is sharing with us in these parables. And so as we look at the gardener, the parable of the sower, there's a lot of codes that Jesus is offering to us throughout this parable. Some are taken from biblical backgrounds. A sower sowing seed is not just about everyday farming life, but really it's a picture of God sowing Israel, her own land, after years of exile. Of God restoring God's people back into covenant relationship with one another. He even kind of harkens back to the restoration of the Garden of Eden. And so those are some of the images in your mind I want you to think about as we read this morning the parable of the sower. If you have your Bibles, I invite you to turn them over to Mark chapter 4. We're going to be reading the first 20 verses. Otherwise, it will be on the screen. This is a gospel reading, so I would invite you to stand as we share in the gospel. Mark says this, again, he began to teach beside the sea. Such a very large crowd gathered around him that he got into the boat on the sea and sat there, while the whole crowd was beside the sea on the land. He began to teach them many things in parables. And his teachings, he said to them, listen, a sower went out to sow. Not sow with a needle and thread, right? But sow seeds. And as he sowed, some seeds fell along the path, and the birds came up and ate it. Other seeds fell among the rocky soil, where it did not have much dirt, and it sprang up quickly, since there was no depth of soil. And when the sun rose, it was scorched, and since it had no root, it withered away. Other seed fell among the thorns, and the thorns grew up and choked it, and it yielded no grain. Other seed fell into good soil and brought forth grain, growing up and increasing and yielding 30 and 60 and even 100-fold. And he said, let anyone who hears listen. When he was alone, those who were around him, along with the 12, asked him about the parables. And he said to them, "To you has been given the secret of the kingdom of God, but for those outside, everything comes in parables. And in order that they may indeed look, but not perceive, that they may listen, but not understand, so that they may turn again and be forgiven." And he said to them, "Do you not understand this parable? Then how will you understand all the parables? The sower sows the word. These are the ones who are on the path where the word is sown. They hear, Satan comes and takes it away. And these are the ones who are sown on rocky ground. They hear the word, then they immediately receive it with joy. But they have no root, and they only endure it for a while. But then when trouble or persecution arises on account of the word, immediately things fall away. And others are sown among the thorns. These are the ones who hear the word. But the cares of the world, the lure of wealth, the desire of other things come in and choke the word, and it yields nothing. And these are the ones sown in good soil. They hear the word, they accept it, and bear fruit 30 and 60 and 100-fold. This is the word of God for the people of God. You know, I'm a terrible gardener. So this story, or this parable, often doesn't really speak to me because it's not something I necessarily enjoy doing, nor is it something I'm very good at. Several years ago, my grandmother bought me a book called First Aid for Plants because my plants need a lot of first aid that I am incapable of giving. A few weeks ago, she brought me a planter box full of radishes. She wanted to send them home with Emerson. And she said, "Look, I've already started them. They were about this tall." And she said, "You know, I just want you to go out, and when you water the dog, just put some water on these. They'll be just fine." And I said, "Okay, Grandma." And she's like, "When they get, you know, just a little taller," and she told me what to look for. I don't remember now. She said, "Then you can pull them, and that they'll be radishes. And you guys can, you know, take them." Yeah, Kim knows what. I have no idea. 2 weeks later, there are no radishes. There is nothing green about that plant because, of course, I forgot to water them, right? I sometimes remember to water the dog, but the flowers, not so much. But I recognize that sowing seeds in the O'Brien Graham household is probably a pretty hostile environment. It is not a place where seeds will grow. And I wonder, when we think about our spiritual lives, and we think about this community of faith, what kind of soil are we? Because seeds are going to be scattered here, right? God's word is always good. God's word is always perfect. The seeds that God sows are never bad. They're never dud seeds, right? They're always good. But where they land and what environment surrounds them matters. Now, hopefully, I'm a little bit of a better spiritual gardener than I am an actual gardener, although sometimes that can be tricky too. But I want us to think about that as we dive into this parable today. Up until this point in Mark, we've already seen that some people are really getting on board with Jesus' message, and others are just kind of standing around aloof, not really sure what to think. They're kind of intrigued, but they're not really ready to jump in yet. And so now we kind of get to see their reactions to these stories. And so Jesus tells us very clearly that some of these people, they're going to hear it and forget it. Some of the people that hear the word of God are going to be enthusiastic about it, but it's going to be short-lived. He says some others, they have too much on their hearts and their minds to really get it. And there's going to be some who are very, very fruitful. But Jesus kind of tells this story, at least the first 10 verses, I think it's 10 verses, first 9 verses, in more coded language. And then a few verses later, he really jumps down and explains it. He says, here's what I'm talking about, guys. But it says he only really explains it to those who have gathered with him and his disciples. And kind of couched in the middle of the parable and the explanation of the parable is this almost haunting explanation where he says, to you there has been given a secret of the kingdom of God. But for those on the outside, everything comes in parables in order that they may indeed look but not perceive, listen but not understand, and they may not turn again and be forgiven. And I read this section last week, right, before we started talking about parables. And sometimes pastors like to skip right over this chunk of scripture because it's kind of difficult to digest. In fact, even in the lectionary, this part is just removed. They give the story and then the explanation. But Mark purposefully puts this discussion that Jesus has in the midst of the story. And I think he does it for two reasons. One, Jesus is a little concerned that if he straight up just tells the message, things might get a little dangerous. Because the stories that Jesus is telling really disrupt the world around him, right? It disrupts those who are in power. It disrupts the larger church, and it disrupts the people and their expectations of what God is like. And so he gives them some coded language so they understand. How many of you do this in your relationships? Like, you're not quite ready to say what it is you mean, so you kind of passively, aggressively share in a different way. Anyone? Some of us. Yes, we like to do this because I think we're afraid that if we really just go at it, it'll just get bad, right? And Jesus recognizes that there's some really dangerous people in power. You know, it's not like our spouse or our friend who would behead us if we shared a difficult message. There's really some dangerous people. And so Jesus knows that if he's going to share this message with the masses, if he's going to preach in public, the word that they take back home needs to not quite be so difficult. So he recognizes, hey, some people aren't going to quite be able to understand this. But I think another reason Jesus offers this is because he recognizes that some people aren't going to be able to hear it because they're not open and receptive to hearing it. There are different kinds of people who hear the word. There are those who hear it, who are listened to it, but they don't understand it. There are those who look, but they don't perceive. If you're not willing and open to seeing and hearing, it's never going to sink in, right? You're never going to be transformed without an open heart. But Jesus' indictment is not so much, if we listen to the explanation, is not so much on the hearer. Yes, he says if they're not willing and ready to hear, or willing and ready to look, they're not actually going to get it. But then Jesus goes into this discussion about soil and talking about where the seeds are sown. And friends, I think for us, we are called as the church to be the soil. And so we have kind of a list of choices to pick from, right? We could be a place where people come and they just instantly walk away. Satan pulls them away because there's nothing to ground them. We could be a place that gets people really excited for just a second, but then that excitement quickly fizzles and they move away. We could be a place where people come and they are attacked and persecuted for who they are. The church does that sometimes, right? Yeah. Or we could be a place where some come, but we don't show them the fullness and the beauty of God and all that God has to offer, and so they're lured away by the other things of the world. Or we could be a place of good soil, where people can grow and thrive. And I would say that the church as a whole sometimes does a bad job of being good soil. You know, I mean, I don't know about you, but the church has been on a steady decline for a really long time. And I think there's different reasons for that. We get people excited, but we give them no depth. We welcome, but then we cause harm. We show them something good, but then there are other things that are more attractive. But if we really want to be good soil, a place where the word of God can thrive and grow, we have to take on some of those attributes of God, right? If we want to bear fruit, we have to be a place where the Holy Spirit can live and bear out all those fruit of the Spirit, right? That we talked about a few weeks ago. Goodness and patience and mercy, right? Sometimes it's hard to hear the word if we're not actively living out the gospel message of Jesus Christ. You know, when we were at Youth Mission Week, one story that was shared, we had a time every night where Kyle asked us to name our yay God moments, right? And these were the places in which we saw God at work and alive in our lives. And at least every night that I was present in evening worship, somebody had a yay God, which is just a yay God in itself. Hey, thanks for putting that up. And if you were here at Tuesday night's worship, some of you came and supported our youth. But the other youth pastor from Cameron, he shared a story that I want to share with the congregation as a whole. He said when they were working along, you know, doing city cleanup, cleaning up all that brush from that terrible storm we had last week. And one of the great things in my mind about that was not only were they helping the city and helping clean up brush, but they were kind of having some conversations with folks along the way because people were home. And so they were able to help maybe do a small project outside of someone's house. So the community really saw the presence of the youth, which was great. But one of the ladies that was helping, she commented on someone's flowers and said how beautiful they looked. And so the guy started to share this story about this plant that he had outside of his house. And I'm probably going to get this story a little wrong, but I'm going to try my best. And he said, you know, actually, that plant came from my parents' house in Joplin. And we took it and we moved it here. And he said, you know, even before that, that plant was at their parents' house somewhere else. So it had moved from one generation to the next to the next. And the only way that it could do that is with good soil, right? With faithful tending, with love and care. Friends, that plant is a lot like the church. If it's going to last from generation to generation to generation, we have to make sure there's going to be good soil there. If we want to make sure that we leave a legacy to not this generation, but the next and the next and the next, we have to ask ourselves, what kind of soil are we going to be? What kind of legacy are we going to lead? Is it going to be one of just so-so shallow faith? Is it going to be one that turns some away but not others? Or is it truly going to be one of love and grace and joy and mercy and forgiveness? Because where the seed grows makes all the difference. Let's pray. God, thank you for the stories that you share with us through your word. God, sometimes your parables feel like a really confusing dream that we just don't understand. But God, if we would open ourselves up to listen, to hear, to see what you have to offer, God, our lives would be completely transformed. God, open us up so that your word could live deeply in our hearts. But God, even more than that, allow us to be a place, to be a people that would allow others to honestly and earnestly explore their own faith, to come with questions and doubts and uncertainty, to come to the altar and place all of their laments before you, God, and allow us to surround them with love and care, just like you did on the cross, with your arms wide open to save the world. God, we pray all of this in the name of your Son, Jesus Christ. Amen.